For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today about the wonderful ways in which God's sovereign control over all things fits together with our freedom to do His will or to do our own will. And God knows how to harmonize these two things ultimately for His own ends. Nothing ever gets lost in the sovereign plan of God. We are not like the new heirs of the southern Sudan and Africa, who take a very fatalistic view. There's nothing you can do about God. He's up there. He's trying to kill us all the time. And their main object in life seems to be to try to get God to lay off and leave them alone. They know nothing of the love of God. But the love of God arranged a universe in which He could reveal Himself to us through the events of our lives, and we could will to do His will. We could offer our wills in harmony with His and say, Lord, work out Your will in my life at any cost, now and forever. In Psalm 105, we have a long account of God's dealings with the people of Israel, the wonderful story of how through the sin of Joseph's brothers against him, God ultimately saved the lives of those very brothers and of his old father. God knows how to turn even people's sins into something good. There isn't a person listening to me today who has not been sinned against. Some of you are refusing to forgive those sins, and that's going to be pretty tough on you spiritually, because bitterness and resentment are very heavy baggage to be lugging around through life, aren't they? But when we recognize that God doesn't allow anything to happen to us that isn't for our own good, ultimately, that ought to make it easier for us to forgive that person. But the thing that makes it imperative is the fact that God has forgiven us, that He gave His only Son, who died for us and who stands ready to forgive all our sins. The harmony of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. My husband Addison Leach used to say it is the theological question of the ages, and I will never be able to satisfy you intellectually as to how to harmonize those. But the Bible is clear in stating the facts. The Bible doesn't give us all those interesting intellectual answers that we search for. It tells us what we need to know. And it is very important that we realize we are not programmed like a computer. In Psalm 105, that long story of Israel, in 1 Chronicles 29, the story of the building of the temple and the people bringing gifts to the temple, of materials which, of course, God had given them in the first place. All things come of Thee, O Lord, and of Thine own have we given Thee, David prayed. They were chosen men, yes, but they were also sinners. Sometimes they obeyed, and sometimes they disobeyed. The story of David's adultery with Bathsheba is well known. It was sin. It was disobedience. Clear evidence that even the people that God chooses for the most important jobs in the world, they are sinners. They are great sinners. Moses was a murderer. David, an adulterer. Paul was also a murderer before he became a Christian. And God knows how to transform lives. But we are not victims of our environment. We are not pawns in God's hands. We are not at the mercy of some blind fate. we always have a refuge. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There's always a refuge. There's always support. Have you lost the support that you counted on? That person or that group, that church, that job? Underneath are the everlasting arms. He'll never let you go. He asks you to trust him. Is it enough to know that? Is it enough that the eternal God is your refuge? He asks first for our trust, and then for the proof of that trust, which is obedience. Really doesn't make any sense, does it, to talk about trusting God or loving God or being a Christian unless we do what he says. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say?" In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to the young man and telling him things that he is supposed to do. Do you not know what the will of God is for you? Well, you can get plenty of clues in what Paul tells Timothy in this one chapter, 2 Timothy 2. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Not going to do any good to tell a weak man to be strong unless you also tell him about the grace that is available. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Endure, that's a word we don't hear very much of these days, do we? We'd like to get out of our situation. Solve the problem. Get rid of the thorn. Fire the person that's making life miserable. There are times when we're supposed to endure. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into this. This is Paul talking to this young man, Timothy. To every young man listening to me today, I would say, endure hardship like a good soldier. Don't get involved in things which will deflect you from God's purpose. This verse 4 in 2 Timothy 2 is the verse that Jim Elliot wrote in my yearbook way back when we were college students in 1948. He wrote his name, and underneath it, he wrote 2 Timothy 2:4. I was astonished when I opened my Bible to find what it said. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. I thought perhaps Jim Elliot might be giving me a cryptic message there. Not very cryptic, actually. Pretty obvious. His reasoning? Just what Paul says here. He wants to please his commanding officer. What's the purpose of your life? Would you say it's to please the Lord? Have you put your life at his disposal, as a soldier puts his life at the disposal of his commanding officer? Are you expendable for God? If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. How many times have we watched an athlete on television and we thought they won the prize, and then the judges come along and tell us that he was disqualified because of some obscure little rule that we didn't notice? Remember Jesus Christ, Paul says in verse 8, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We see in the Old Testament story of Joseph that he had to endure all sorts of hardship, including imprisonment, for the sake of his own family. And here's a New Testament analogy. The Apostle Paul is enduring chains in prison. He says, "I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We never know how the suffering which God allows in our lives may work out for the deliverance of somebody else. It's a mystery, but it happens. It happens again and again. The people who have been the greatest blessing in my life are the people who have suffered. It takes learning obedience through suffering to be a blessing to other people. So Paul is saying, be strong and trust, endure, compete, work hard, reflect, endure. If we died, if we endure, if we are faithless. He's referring to different choices that we make. Are we willing to die to ourselves? If a man cleanses himself, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. All things are under God's control, but remember, God has given you a choice. Will you trust Him? Will you offer yourself to Him for the working out of His purposes in your life and for the blessing of other people?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.